We're going to pray and get right into our lesson. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears to hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Last week we left off with the teachers. Like I said, I'm going to jump right into our lesson tonight. We left off with the teaching. Teacher, we're still on the fivefold ministry gifts. We're going to probably finish it up within either this lesson or the next lesson. It depends on how the Holy Ghost go. Last week I left off with a statement. I made a statement. Let's go back. We understand our scriptures, our base scriptures. Ephesians 2 and 11, you know that. I mean, Ephesians 19 and 20. Ephesians 4 and 11. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. We always keep those scriptures before us so we know what we are studying about. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are following along the same vein as our apostle. We want to make sure we keep focused on the supernatural. That's what we are focusing on, seeing the supernatural manifest itself in our everyday life, just like it did in biblical times. And so everything we teach or focus to, it's all scripturally. And so it's about the supernatural. This is something God is doing in the earth realm through us, through the body of Christ right now. And he wants to bring that back into the forefront, that the things that happen in the Bible is still Jesus Christ same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he did it back then, he want to also do those things today. So last week when I left off with the lesson, I said, made a statement, when we focus solely on the word, eventually we begin to fight among ourselves over the word. I'm not talking about the word like in Isaiah 55 and 9 through 11, where it says, so the word of God come, and whatever he says shall prosper. I'm not talking about word, Matthew 4 and 4, where he says, man should not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. But when I say we focus on the word, when we focus on just scripture, and we try to interpret scripture with our own minds, our own understanding, and then we begin to fight over what the word means to us. Because each teacher thinks he or she is right. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Looking at verse 6, it says in 2 Corinthians 3, 6, it says, who also, let's read 5 first, and then we go to the next one. In verse 5, it says that, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency should be of God. Our sufficiency is of God, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. He says, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So we try to interpret scripture from our own understanding. What we're doing, we're interpreting scripture according to the way we see scripture. And when we read scripture, what we should do, we should call on our helper. We should call on the Holy Spirit to help us interpret those scriptures. So what the body has, or Christ has done basically, is when they read scripture, they see it the way they want to see it. They interpret the way they want it. And then everybody have their own personal understanding of what the scripture means to them. And when they do that, then that's why we have so many different denominations in the body of Christ. We have all these doctrines, denominations. I go back and I think about my old denomination, the church that I was in. And so I was in the school of ministry. And one of the things that we had the gospel hymnal, we had the discipline and doctrine of the denomination, and we had the Bible. So when we was in the school of ministry, one of the things they had a form. They said, they in the school of ministry asked, how should we carry our books? someone in the school ministry asks, what should be on the top? You know, I thought it was so menial the way they asked the question, but then they say, well, the discipline and doctrine should always be on the top, then the Bible, then the hymnal. And so I asked, well, if you put the Bible on the top and we go from what the scriptures say, then we won't have to worry about the doctrines of the denomination. They said, oh no, I mean, they got offended because I said that the Bible should be on the top and the doctrine should be on not on top. And so that's when we interpret the scriptures the way we think they should be interpreted without the help of the Holy Spirit, then we're going to come up with our own ideas on what those scriptures says unto us. And so what I'm saying is when we read scripture, it says all scripture was inspired by God and it was given to holy men and they wrote it as the Holy Spirit saw. And so if they wrote it as the Holy Spirit told them to write it, then we're going to need the Holy Spirit to help us interpret what he was saying at the time that he was writing and telling these holy men to write the scriptures. And so as teachers, that's what happened, because each teacher think he or she is right. As Paul said in Corinthians, as I just read that scripture, and when the teachers disagree, there is division. And so that's why we have so many divisions in the church, because everybody have their own interpretation of what the scripture says. Because they begin to assert his or her case of doctrine and theology and build a case to prove his or hers and disapprove the others. So they build a case for themselves. They build a case to prove what they say is right and to build a case also to disapprove what the other teachers are saying. So again, if we want to interpret scripture, what we need to do, if we read scripture, we don't understand what the scriptures say, and we want to continue to operate in this realm of the supernatural, we cannot interpret scripture from our own understanding. So then Apostle Paul went to the Ephesians, and he gave them that awesome scripture over in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go over there. And it's a prayer. It's a prayer that we could pray. One of the ministers began to pray. He said, pray this prayer. And he sat there and he prayed this prayer for 2 weeks solid. He spent time in the presence of God on Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, Colossians 1, those scriptures. And then I found the Spirit, Holy Spirit reveal. I mean, it takes time to understand and see what scripture is saying. So he said he sat on his face for 2 weeks solid, just praying and seeking God on what these scriptures was meaning. So in Ephesians chapter 2, and the minister that I was talking about is my apostle's father, which is Pastor Kenny Hagin. As I was studying under him, and that's one of the things that he said he sat there and he read the book. I mean, he said on his face, seeking God and wanting him to interpret what the Bible said. And then once he got it, the light shined on these scriptures. And once the light shined on, then he could go on and operate the way God set it up. So, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get to a point. We get to a thirst and hunger for the things of God until God just fills us up. He light our inside, our inner man, and we begin to see. The Bible comes alive to us this way. In Ephesians chapter 1, awesome scriptures. You can make them part of your devotion, part of your meditation, and then God will reveal. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1:16 say, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. So when he say you, may give unto me. And so the Bible is always personal. So when I begin to make these scriptures, I make them personally for myself, that he may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding may be being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of him. So he filleth everything. Jesus Christ himself. That's why we tell you when we read it 19 and 20, it tells us that we are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God, built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we have to have an understanding of what Jesus did. We have to have that full wisdom and knowledge of what he came here for and what he did when he came. Turn to Ephesians 3, and I just show you these awesome prayers here. And like I say, you can take them and begin to read them for yourself. We're in class. We're in a Bible training class called Ever Increasing Word Training Center. And so our word should ever be increasing. And the only way it's going to increase is that we're going to need the helper. We're going to need the Holy Spirit. As Jesus told the disciples in John, he said, I have many things to say unto you, but I can't say them right now. Why? Because your understanding, you don't have the understanding to receive those things which I'm saying to you. But he said, when the Holy Spirit, when the helper, when the Holy Spirit comes, he should guide you into all truth. So he was giving us a hint right here is how we're going to get the information and the knowledge on these scriptures that we read in the Bible. Here in Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verse 16, he said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. So our apostle was ministering yesterday, and he gave us that scripture where Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he was showing us where Jesus, when he came from the inside, from his inner man, he said his whole outside changed. So when we're going to operate in the supernatural, we have to be strong in our inner man. We change our outside surrounding by what we have on the inside of us. That's why when we give you scriptures and we say meditate these scriptures, what are you doing? You're putting these scriptures in your heart. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so whatever's in your heart, what's in there, is going to come out. So when it comes out, you can say those things. Again, that's Joshua 1 and 8. Book of the law should not depart of your eyes, out of your mouth, but you meditate in them day and night, make your way prosper, and have good success. Psalm 3, 1 and 3. Say all these scriptures telling us how we're going to operate in this kingdom the way God set it up. And that's the way that he gives us principles, he gives doctrine. It works the same way for everybody who do it. Bless this man who thirsts and hunger after this righteousness, for he shall be filled. So we have to have a thirst. We have to have a thirst for the supernatural. We have to have a thirst to see these supernatural events that Jesus did while he was on earth begin to operate in our lives, in our everyday life, the way it did in the scripture. Now, let me read a little bit further in Ephesians 3, and I'll show you the other one in 9. You can make them part of your devotion. You can look at them, read them. It's saying that Christ may dwell in our hearts, in my heart, I say my heart, by faith, that I being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that he might fill me with all the fullness of God. Is it now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in her, in me. Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So again, we have to have a understanding, and not just by reading scripture, not by looking at the words on the page, but allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal what he's saying in these scriptures. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, he said, who's going to believe our report about what Jesus did when he came? He began to tell us about what he did when he here. If we don't have an understanding of why he came and what he did when he was here, then how can we possibly believe that what he did, that the finished work is done? How can we possibly believe and accept those things he said? Turn to Isaiah right quick. Isaiah 53, and this is what he was talking about, our report. We're supposed to be able to get the body of Christ. Again, Ephesians 4:11, he said he gave these gifts, these graces unto men. And he said for the perfecting of the saints. That means that the saints has to get in a training process. It's a training process. And we never stop training. As long as we are here on this side of heaven, then we are always in a training process because God is always moving. God is always, there's no stay of revelation. When God say there's no end. Nobody has all the revelation of the things of God. So as long as you're here, God is continually moving and flowing. And so all we do is continue to move and flow with the Holy Spirit and with what God is doing in the earth realm. I was going to Ephesians chapter 53. Awesome piece, Pastor Isaiah. Isaiah, did I say Isaiah? Okay. Isaiah 53. And I read a couple of verses in here. Like I say, in Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 1, it says, who hath believed our report? This is a prophet who prophesies about what Jesus was doing. And again, that's why we say it's built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So what the prophets began to do in the Old Testament, they began to prophesy what was going to happen when Jesus come. When we got over in the New Testament, the apostles began to tell us what we receive after Jesus has left here. And so, but Jesus right here was being the chief cornerstone, so they were telling us here from the old, and they was coming back, and they were telling us what we receive after he died on the cross, the finished work. And so here in the prophet Isaiah began to tell us, he said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So again, he's telling us it has to be revealed to us. And it has to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, the one who gave us these scriptures, who wrote them on the Bible. We don't get them in our head. I have not seen, I just heard. 1 Corinthians 2:9. The things that God had prepared for them that love him. But it has to be revealed to our spirits, our inner man. It's not going to, you can't get the Bible in our heads. If we think we're going to learn this Bible by understanding in our head. That was my biggest problem. I always tried to thought, because I had a whole bunch of schooling, and that I could read the Bible and just understand the Bible just because I was reading it. And I could not understand. I mean, I could read it, but it was doing me no good because I was trying to understand it here. But that's the way I had been trained. I had went to college. I had went off to school. And so everything I learned in my head. All the things I learned to do my job with, I learned in my head. So when I got into scriptures, when I began to try to study scriptures, that's the way I had been trained, to learn it in my head. And we who are in the body of Christ, we do the same thing. We try to get it in our head. It ain't going to get it in our head. It has to be revealed to our spirits by the Spirit of God. Here in Isaiah 53, verse 1, it says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire of him. They're talking about, see, prophet. He was talking about Jesus, prophet Isaiah. He began to show us some things about what was going to happen. He said he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it was our face from him. He said he was despised and we esteemed him not. He said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was prophesying of things that was going to happen when Jesus came. Before, in verse 5, it said, now that's that awesome scripture. Everybody who in the kingdom of God should get this scripture in their head, in their spirits, and begin to meditate and think about it. And so when sickness and disease come upon you, you can, now that's when the scripture can say, talk to you. And when you see, he can say, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not hear. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement, our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That means that's a done deal. That means all means that it has already taken place. That means that's that finished work. He finished the work for us on the cross. When he went, when he left here, everything that we needed to operate on this side, operate the way heaven operate, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So everything that we need to operate on. And then he told, what did he tell his apostles? He said, look, I want y'all, don't leave here. Don't stay right here in Jerusalem. He said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Don't go anywhere. Don't go out and try to preach to anybody. Don't go out and try to teach anybody anything. Because I know when you try to do it in your own understanding, in your own mind, what's going to happen? You're going to deny that the things that happened to me, you're going to begin to deny them. Like Peter, one of his apostles, did when he got ready to take him. I don't know him. He's, denied him three times. And so he said, but we need the Holy Spirit. He said, I got to go away. He said, but I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to send you another comforter. And so they went to this place where, the disciples all went to this place called the Upper Room. And they sat there and they waited till the Holy Spirit. And again, as I'm ministering, I'm always learning. I'm in a class. I'm like the disciples was when they was with Jesus. As long as I'm sitting there and sitting under my apostle, he always bring light to situation. And they say, and the Spirit of God came in and he said, and the room was filled. He said in Acts 1 and 8, in Acts 1, he said, and the house was filled. So the house was filled before they got filled, is what the apostle began. He said, and as he see it, then I begin to see it because I receive him as my man of God. As he speaks to me, he's speaking from heaven to me, and he's speaking from heaven from God to what God want me to hear. And so when he's speaking, I'm going to open my ears so I can hear what he's saying. And when I hear what he's saying, then I know heaven is speaking to me through every word that I need from God. I mean, God speaks to me in my spirit, but I know I can come into my sanctuary and I can sit there under my apostle and he can bring me to my next level. And as I'm listening and hearing, and so that's what Jesus always say. He said, for those who have eyes to hear, let them hear, ears to hear, let them hear. Those who have eyes to see, let them. He wasn't talking about just natural hearing because he know they had those eyes. He could see they had eyes, but everybody who had eyes could not see or perceive what was being said. Could not hear what was being said. That's why the revelation, that's why it has to be revealed to us, to our spirit. He said, let's finish it up. He said, surely he hath borne our griefs, verse 4, and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he said, these are the things that happened to him before he went to the cross. He said, but that was a reason for him doing this. And so I've heard ministers say you say something real good about a person, you talk about all these good accolades, and then you say but. Once you say but, something else is about to happen. You've canceled out everything that you said prior to that but. He said but he was wounded. That was a reason for him taking that grief. That was a reason for him being rejected. What the scripture in 2 Corinthians tell us, he said, he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for me, that I may be made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, made the righteousness of God in him. So I was made righteous because of this but right here. This what he did, because he was rejected. And because he was rejected, I was accepted. And so it goes on to say, but he was wounded for our transgressions. That's something that he didn't do. It's something that we did. And so he was wounded because of that. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Are healed. And so, like I say, when the enemy come and he give you that bad report, this is the kingdom of God. This is the way the kingdom of God operates. When he give you that bad report, And now we know the truth on the matter. Jesus have already taken care of this report already, this bad report. He's already taken care of this report. And so all I have to do now is find out what the truth said. He's going to guide you. The Holy Spirit is going to guide me into all truth. And so a person's truth is what they know. Their reality is their truth. But see, we have a different reality. We have a reality that comes from Almighty God. What God says, there is nothing that's impossible to me. So when you get a bad report from the world system, then we can go to the truth. That's why the word of God in Romans 12, 2 said, he said, be not conformed to what this world system tell you. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you now we know what the perfect will of God is. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. And so when he said, you got cancer, which is an incurable disease, I say, no. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not hear. So I know I'm already healed because of what Jesus did. And so he can't put this on me. I already know what the report says. Amen. I believe the report. And that's what the apostle was saying. Who's going to reread our report? Let's go back and look at some more notes here. It's because they begin to assert his or her case of doctrine and theology and build a case to prove his or her or disprove the other. What then is the role of the teacher? They must be willing to pursue a supernatural lifestyle. Again, Jesus modeled this lifestyle for us. So we must be willing to pursue not just be a good orator, not just be able to quote scripture, not be able to go out and show people, because I speak excellent, I can rhyme and reason when I give it. We have to give people something that they can work with in their everyday life. When you leave out of a meeting with an instructor, you should have some information that you can go out and use for yourself in your everyday life. What did I do in this situation? So what happened is, as you begin to pray and seek God, then you'll hear something that if someone was ministering to you in the anointing, out of the power of God, you begin to hear certain things, and those things will come up to you again. And when they come up to you again, that becomes your word from God for that particular situation. Why? Because it has become up into your spirit again. When I was first beginning to operate and learn the things of God, there are many, but I know one in particular. There was a situation that was coming up in my wife and my life, and so as I began to seek God and pray to God about it, he gave me the scripture, Isaiah 41 and 10. He said, fear not. He said, for I am your God. He said, yeah, I will help you. Yeah, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And what he was saying. And so when our apostle was talking yesterday about covenant, and we who are in this Western world do not understand covenant. And when he was saying that, the first thing that came up in my scripture, the Holy Spirit said, you remember that scripture in Isaiah 41? See, we have a covenant with Almighty God. And God gonna always keep his part of the covenant. And so as long as we know that he is gonna keep his part, and God hasn't lost a battle, then we know that we're in that situation again. And so then in the process, as he was giving me that scripture, then he said, I always talk to my wife. We sit there and we talk scripture. And where he said it, he said, I was in my bed. He said, I came through the eons of time. So so as I studied and learned, he said, I came out of eternity that came into your presence to give you that word. See, God's word, all his character, all of his attributes is in his word. All his power is in his words. We'd be looking for something spectacular to happen, but God give us a word that will take care of that situation for us. And once we believe that word that God has given to us, then those manifestations that we need for our situation begin. John 6:63, turn over there right quick, and then we can go back to that. John 6. Same thing I've been saying. Basically, Holy Spirit, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, come here and he tell us here. It's in read in my Bible, so this is Jesus speaking. And so then the Holy Spirit will shed light on to you. In John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that makes alive. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the one who shines light on these words. He says, the flesh profiteth nothing. That's that natural man again. He said, the flesh profited nothing. So if even if I read the scripture, even if I have a whole bunch of scriptures memorized in my head, it profits me nothing because I don't have the revelation of what those scriptures is saying to me. And so that's why I have to go to the Holy Spirit and ask him to reveal those scriptures to me. Unless that scripture become a revelation to you, but he was wounded for my transgression, he was bruised my iniquities, chastised my peace was up on him, with his stripes I'm healed. And unless it becomes a revelation to you, you can read it, you can read it, and you can read it. It's not going to do anything for you. You know it's scripture, and God will say, my word will not return to me void, but it's going to profit. And the thing that I sent it is going to prosper in that thing. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you, then that scripture is not going to do you any good. And so that's why people who know scripture, they quote scriptures, and they still go off and die because they have these scriptures in their head and not in their spirits and in their hearts. And so he goes on to say, he says in 663, he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth it. The flesh profiteth nothing. He said, the words that I speak unto you, the words that not to the congregation, the words that I speak to you, your spirit, your inner man. He said, they are spirit and they are life. That's the thing that's going to change your situation. Not the scriptures, but the ones that I speak unto you. Like I say, Spirit of God spoke in many situations, and he always speaks to me. I get revelation through watching TV. The Spirit of God, that could be a TV show on. I could be watching it. And then all of a sudden, someone will say something, and the Spirit of God drops in my spirit, and then that becomes my word for that particular situation. But that's because I've studied God. I've spent time in his presence, and he speaks to you any way he wants. He spoke to the man through a donkey. So any way God wants to speak to you, he can speak to you. But you have to go through the Holy Spirit in order for him to reveal it to your spirit. You see, and so make us John 6:3, since we're here, and it's come up. It's a good meditation scripture for this particular class. It is the spirit that quickeneth it, the flesh profit but nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So again, the Holy Spirit have to reveal this scripture to you. The teacher, they will need to increase their courage to risk failure and live a life that is unable to answer all the world's questions. We don't have all the answers, but the Holy Spirit has answers. And so when we pray, that's why, again, that scripture in Romans 8:26 comes up again. He said, Holy Spirit, helpeth our infirmities, but we know not what to pray for as we ought. He said, but he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And he said, he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we pray, and again, that's the Holy Spirit coming up again, and he's telling us when we pray in the Holy Spirit, that's a doorway opening to the supernatural. See, that's one of the ways we can jump right off into the supernatural immediately by praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what the disciples did. Jesus had to be filled with it, the Holy Spirit, while he was on the earth. We know when he got baptized, the Spirit lit up on him like a dove over there in the River Jordan. And they say the heavens was open, and he heard a voice from heaven. The heavens opened up, and the heavens say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Had not done not one miracle, had not healed not one body, but God said, God already saw. He called it those things that be not. In Romans 4:17. He calls those things that be not as though they were. So he knew what Jesus was going to do, why he was going to do here. He was going to carry out the assignment that God had assigned him to. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's going to take care of business while he's here. Amen. If I can use that vernacular. He says that they would need to increase their courage to risk failure and live a life that is unable to answer all the world's questions. They must embrace mystery. These are teachers. Teachers must embrace mystery. Mark 4, when Jesus began to give those parables of the sower, and one of the things that Jesus said was, it is for us who are in the kingdom of God to know the mysteries of God. In Mark 4, And then he goes on and tell them why they should understand mysteries. He told them about what when the word is sown in your heart, how Satan was going to come along and take that word that was sown in your heart. He said about the cares of this world is going to come in and choke out the word. He began to tell us all these things. But he told us something else also. He said, sower sowed the word. And then he explained the kingdom. Jesus was always teaching about the kingdom. And what he said was, he said, the kingdom of God is as the man should cast seed into the ground. That's a meditation there. And that seed should spring up and grow. He knew it not how. He said, but first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He said, it becomes a process once you begin to hear what the word of God is saying. He said, you hear it, and it's not going to take root immediately. But if you hear it, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And then it begins to take root. What you're doing, you got the seed in the ground, and you don't allow the enemy to come in and take. Turn to Mark right quick. Let's turn over there and see. It's over in Matthew 13, but I like the way it says it in Mark, because that's the Spirit of God spoke to me again through in Mark there, 4. In Mark 4, and here Jesus, this Jesus always taught from the supernatural. And he said, and verse 1 says, and he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and unto them in his doctrine. In his doctrine. Then he began to tell them about this sower, this sower who went out to sow. And he told them what would happen as a sower. But even though he was telling them from his voice, the disciples that was with him did not understand what he was talking about, because he was telling them to them in parables. That's the way the scriptures are to many of us who read the scripture. It's more like a parable rather than a revelation. And so the scripture has to become a revelation to us. And so even though Jesus, he was speaking, and he got down here, and in verse 9, so he says again in verse 9, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let them hear. That's after one of the apostles that came to him. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. So what did they do? They knew who was a helper. And so just like they went to him and asked him, you know, what are you saying to us? That was Jesus. He was with them. He knew about the kingdom of God. We got the Holy Spirit, our helper. So when we read scripture, we don't understand it. We go to our helper and we say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us? Explain this to me. And so he goes on to say, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so in Corinthians, remember, say when we pray in this unknown language, in this tongue, it says we're not praying to men, but we're praying unto God. And not only are we praying unto God, we're praying mysteries. We're learning the mysteries of the kingdom when we pray in the Holy Ghost. He began to reveal some things to us. And he come back and he tell us. He said, and it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So an unsaved person can read this Bible, read the scripture. I know people when I was growing up that could quote the Bible, knew it from back to front, and they'd tell people who would ask them about, did they know Jesus? They say, I read the Bible, I know the Bible, I know everything in the Bible. But they had no revelation. It just became words on the page to them, just like reading a novel. Had no revelation of what the Bible was saying unto them. And so that's what the scripture is saying. It says, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, he said, these things are done in parable. He said that seeing they may see and not perceive. So that means they can see the words on the page, but they don't understand what it's saying. That's what Jesus was saying. He's saying hearing they may hear and not understand. At least any time they be converted and their sins should be given. They say, unless they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit come on the inside of them, and when they read the scripture, they cannot understand this Bible. He said, and he said unto them, he said, know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? He was letting them know that the Spirit of God have to reveal these things to you, because it's done in secret. It's done that the people there, even according to Christian, cannot understand what this scripture, according to what the Bible tells us. Go to 1 Corinthians 2 and I'll read through there. He has let us know that we as according to Christians cannot. And that's why when we go out as believers and we begin to minister to people, and people say, well, I know the Bible. But then you look at their lives, and they live in these shoddy lives. But they do not, they know the words on the page, but they do not know the Bible. And so, and even we try to minister to those individuals, they're still not. And so, you know, then so what Jesus said, he said, cast not pearls to swine. So he was letting us know something. When someone don't want to hear what you have to say, when we're talking to an individual, we can sow the seed, but they're not going to receive it. So all we do is just, you know, and the Holy Spirit say, you know, go on to, he said, shake the dust off your feet and go on to the next one. And so, you know, it's the Bible is awesome, man. He just give you all these awesome principles that we can operate in this life, in this kingdom life. This is a kingdom. We're in a kingdom here. We have a government, and God himself set this government up. And if we operate according to the way he set up every principle in this Bible, every promise is yea and amen to us who believe, every one of them. And so he goes on to say, and I'm trying to get somewhere here. He go back and he began to tell in verse 14, he's saying, the sower sowed the word. And so he was telling them what happened when he sowed the word. And he said, and then in the first one, he said, and these are they that the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan come immediately. He said, as soon as they, and that's what Satan is always trying to do. He's trying to, you hear the word of God, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to tell you that that's not going to work. You know, you're here, you come through your head, you come through your mind. That's not going to work. And so, but once you get the truth, once you get a revelation of it, he can't take that word out of your heart. He said, it was sown in their hearts. He said it was sown in their heart. But immediately he comes along, and then he goes on, he explained this parable to him. Then he gets down to verse 26, awesome passage of scripture, if you can ever get that one in your heart and understanding, allow the Spirit of God to reveal it to you, then you'll never have a problem again in the scripture. And when you read scripture, when God tell you something, when he says something. In verse 26, he says, so is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom that we are in, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. It's not for us to know what God does when he do it. You don't know how that seed is going to come back. The only thing we should know, once we get a revelation of that scripture that God has given to us, all we got to know is that word is going to work for us every time, no matter what the enemy tries. It's not, no matter what the report, no matter what the doctor say, I got that word in my heart, and I cannot choke that word out of my heart because I got the truth. Satan can't come along and steal it. I don't care how many symptoms, how, you know, it may hurt, but the symptoms is not going to allow me to loose that word that God has given to me in my heart. He said, sown in the heart. So that's what Jesus was trying to tell us. Once God give you something and it become that spirit and life to you, you don't allow the enemy to come in and take it out of your heart. You keep it in your heart. He goes on to say, he says, and spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. He said, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. He said, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So once he sowed that word, that sows it into your spirit, man, that becomes that earth. And so it brings forth fruit. It brings forth the harvest. And he said, and when the harvest come, the next verse, he said, and then immediately you put in the sickle. That means the manifestation of that which I've been seeking God for has manifested in my life, so I can now use those things he told me through his word. So, and again, that's if we do what God tells us to do, and the way he tells us to do it, then everything God said, we have to do it the way he said. If we don't do it the way he said do it, then the results that we get is going to be our results. You can't doubt what God's word. Scriptures running through my head. Turn to Romans chapter 5. We've probably seen this, but he said, show it to him again. Chapter 5. Verse 17. Like I said, there's many things that the Spirit of God has said to us. But then, like I say, as we are going through our life situations, it's not our life. We get into life situations. Things come up on us, and we call them life situations. But we can take our life, and we can change that life situation into our good. Because we know the truth about that situation. Here in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if by one man's offense, death reigned. He was talking about what Adam and Eve did when he was in the garden. And so, you know, he said, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. So death reigned for everybody. Everybody who's born into there, because they were cursed. And he said, death reigned. Then he says, much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So Jesus, again, that's that, you can go back to him. He's that chief cornerstone. So everything that we do, we have to go back and bring it back to what he did for us. And so it's laid right there. The apostles are telling us what happened here. And so when he tells us what happened, so now he said, if we receive what Jesus did for us, that abundance of grace, you're saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8, by grace through faith. It is not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. God has given us this free gift that we can operate in this kingdom. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is believe it and receive it. And he said, and we should reign in life. And he said, receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Second Corinthians 5:21. You can put that there. And so it's his righteousness. We are there. We got it already. And so as our apostle, again, ministering to us and teaching us, he said, righteousness means that I have a right to every promise that the Bible has offered, has stated in this Bible. Once I receive it, I have a right, but I have to know I have a right to those things. And then once I know I have a right, then I can claim what is rightfully mine. Again, we all came up in our own vehicle, and we know that's our vehicle, and you go out there and you see somebody else trying to get in your vehicle to try to drive it out, what you gonna say? Get out of my car. That's my car. You're gonna say it with authority. So the same thing in the kingdom of God. Jesus have already provided these things for us, so we have to have that boldness to know that he've already provided for us, and then we can we can claim those rights. He that received shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And so, when we as teachers begin to teach the body of Christ, we should be able to tell them, and they should be able to go out and take what God has revealed to us and begin as an impartation that's taking place. When you go out, you some of these things that come out of my mouth, you'll begin to hear them when circumstances, when situations come up on you. You begin to hear my voice, because I'm only saying what the Spirit of God is saying. And so when you hear those things, that means the Spirit of God is speaking through to you, because that's, and so now you can see when Jesus said, I only speak what I see, hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. That means the Holy Spirit was revealing to him what the Father wants here. And when he said, revealed to him, then he tell it to the people. And the people are the ones who receive it, who had those ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand what he was saying. Then they could receive those things and begin to act on them. And then they became spirit and life to them. Teachers must take the passion. Let me go back in. He said, in a supernatural culture, teachers will teach with supernatural results. I have a bunch of scriptures that I need to go back and show it to you, but our time is running out, so we're going to end it right there. Again, in a supernatural culture, teachers will teach with supernatural results. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Father God. We thank you that, Father, that your word has fallen on good ground. We're no longer just hearers of what you tell us to do, Father, but we become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Meditation scripture, John 6:63. Meditate it. Keep it in the front of you. Keep it in your eyes and your mouth. And then you make your way prosperous and you have good success. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. All right, sure. Yes. Thank you.